Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the magnificent name of the Lord. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Prayer Army on the Blog Talk Radio. And we are being heard literally all over the world. So when I call a friend, I call a neighbor, get ready to enjoy the broadcast with us. And today, let's go visit one of the other prayer cells and see what they're doing. Come with us as we go visit the prayer cells. God bless.
Blog community, thank you for being with us, partnering with us on the Lifeline and with Lady Hagen. Thank you, Lady Hagen, for connecting us with the blog community.
Are you so welcome. Thank you.
Our reading today, we're looking at St. John's easy passage of scripture, St. John 15:15. We can almost recite that. We can remember that. It is so easy. Can you remember? St. John 15:15. And it says, henceforth I call you not servants, the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And again, he's not talking about what he has seen of his Father. Because even if he has seen some things of his Father, we are not able to bear that just now. Because he'll be able to see God and see God working in some ways. And then if we see him doing some things, it's hard for us to grasp that. So what we do what we saw, see Jesus do. But in this case, he says, everything that I've heard of my Father, whatever my Father has told me, all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I didn't keep nothing back. And he heard these things from his Father because he's in constant communion with his Father. When he's walking, when he's talking, when he is kneeling, when he's in the garden, when he is wherever our Savior, he is in direct communion with his Father. And his Father talks to him. One of the reasons just become so profound to me is Jesus is, again, laying down some foundational scriptures, something for us to realize that he did the same thing that we are supposed to do. What is that? Have communion with him. Be in relationship with him. Jesus, he was a friend of his Father. He loved his Father. He communed with his Father. He talked to his Father. He was always in relationship with his Father. And because he prayed and he talked to his Father showed him things. Told him things, always in his ear. He was always hearing things from his Father. His Father would tell him to do this or to do that or to not to do this or not to do that. His Father always gave him information. And that was so profound and so special to him because his Father talked to him. And he says, I'm not going to call you servants, but I'm calling you friends. Because no servant know what they don't know what their master do. They don't have that privilege to know where his master lay his head. See, he's not able to come and go as he please. He cannot just come in the room and just whatever and just whatever. He can't do that. But a friend knoweth what his Lord doeth. And so therefore I call you friends. And for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In other words, the relationship that I have my with my Father, I want to have it with you. As my Father tells me things, I want to tell it to you. If you want your prayer life to go to another level, if you really want it to go to another level, no matter how lame it seems, and I say lame, not from the perspective that the world uses lame, but I mean lame to the point, you know, sometimes you can get very fatigued and you feel you're just going through motion. You feel it's just a motion. You're just going through it. You got your little room, you got your little place, you got your little kneeling pads, and you're just going through it, and then you pray, you kneel down to pray, you fall asleep. You get back up, you wake yourself, you shake yourself, you kneel back down, you fall asleep. And then it seems boring at times. Why? That's the exterior. That's the exterior of doubt. That's the exterior of fear. That's the exterior of hindrance. Those are the exteriors of all those things that's trying to manipulate you from praying. And then it's going to seem so hard, so cumbersome. No one's going to hear me. I'm alone. I'm by myself. I'm talking to myself. Who's going to hear me? Nobody's going to hear me because we want to be seen. But when you're still away, and at first it seems so rigid and hard and laborious and just, oh, Jesus, because there's no unction at first. You have to program yourself to pray. It's just like love. It's like love. Did you not know? With Jesus, love come easy. With us, it's not like that. Love doesn't come easy for us people. Love does not come easy for any person for walking on the face of this earth. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Williams, I beg the difference. Good. Beg the difference. I need somebody that's going to challenge me on that one. I'll tell you why it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy because you were born in sin. You were shaped in iniquity. In sin did your mother conceive you. Born in the flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is of sin is sin. That which is of God is of God. You were born in sin. So because you were born in sin, there's a penalty over you. There was a penalty over your head. There was an influence over your head. There was a negative over your head. There was a negative banner over your head. You already had a dark cloud hanging over you because of sin. So because of that, Jesus took away the penalty. And because he took away the penalty, guess what? Now what you have to do is learn how to love. Every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl have to learn how to love. That's why it's so easy to sin. Because the sin, you were born in sin. So sin is your nature. Your nature is the sin. So sinning comes easy. Lying comes easy. Cheating comes easy. Manipulation comes easy. That's why, you know, you can take a little baby. And baby don't have, he didn't have no friend, he ain't hang around nobody, but he was in the kitchen, or he was in the living room, he went in his mama's little room, he just could walk. He's wobbling, he goes in there, and he sees some little talcum powder, some baby powder, and there he is, mama's in the kitchen cooking, he's in the room with the baby powder, he's just playing with it, just throwing it up and down, and next thing you know, he looks like a little white zombie. There's baby powder all over him, and then all of a sudden, mama breaks away from what she's doing because she heard the call. And she heard her baby. She can hear that baby almost a mile away. And when she runs in there, he's covered in powder, baby powder. And she said, what the world? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. And then mama says, what you do?
Nothing.
What could you do?
Nothing.
Nothing. You knew something just happened. There's powder all over the baby. And it got on him somehow. And you ask him,
nothing.
He just is serious.
Nothing.
Why? He's a baby. He's in a state of innocence. But he's ready to say,
nothing happened.
Did you do that?
No.
Did you pour this powder on you? You know it happened.
Uh-uh.
No. No, mommy. I didn't do that. No, daddy. No, daddy. I didn't do that. And you knew it happened. Why is that? Here's a baby in a state of innocence. Because sin comes easy. It is easy to sin. Because it's your nature. But you know what? When it comes to love, love don't come that easy. Mm-mm. You have to be taught how to love. People have to teach you how to love. They have to teach you how to be obedient. Teach you how to be respectful. Teach you how to hurt. How to hurt their feelings and lie. How not to steal. How not to manipulate. How to be respectful. How to be devoted. How to be on time. How to be a person of integrity. You have to be taught that. No one has to tell you how to lie. No one has to tell you how to sin. No one has to teach you those things because it's part of your nature. And it comes easy. But there has got to be a restraint to do what is right. And when you start praying, you know what? It's going to seem so hard. Why? Because you're trying to pull through those layers of of neglect and all the negative things of you. And when you start praying, the devil don't want you to. He want to keep you down because he don't want you to hear all the wonderful things that God wants to tell you. But let me say this. He don't want you to hear all the wonderful things that his son Jesus wants to tell you. Jesus wants to tell you everything that his father had told him. He wants to reveal heavens to you. He wants to reveal wisdom to you. He wants to reveal knowledge to you. He wants to reveal all those things. And then when you're reading something in the scripture and you didn't quite understand it, he wants to reveal that. He wants to give you revelation knowledge of that. And you're like, how in the world? I don't understand this one, Lord. How did that happen? He wants to reveal it to you. So while you're praying, you're in the right posture. You're in the right place. You're in the right season. And you begin praying. Next thing you know, you get sleepy. Why are you getting sleepy when you're praying? Because the devil don't want you to pray. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to God. He don't want you to Father, reveal unto me everything that he told me, tell it to you. In other words, he's saying, let me read this again. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard, all things that I have heard, all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. I have made known unto you. He revealed them. He wants to reveal them to you. He wants that relationship with you that he may reveal it to you so that people will say, how in the world did you know that? Because you're in communion with your Father. You're in communion with the Lord. You say, hold up. That was 10 years ago, and you saw a drought coming because you're in communion with your Father. You say, hold up. This person told me. But listen. Pray for your marriage. Pray that God would keep you. Do this, and do this. And God is going to safeguard your marriage. God is going to take the turn around. You thought it was just a wise cushion, just some good old common sense. No, they done looked down the future. They done peeked into your future and knew you was about to make shipwreck. God told them that. To tell your friend, to pray. Tell your friend to seek my face. Tell your friend. Tell your friend to do the right thing. When you did that, God was just giving you a download. And he was giving you a download because of your relationship with him. Your relationship with him should not be because the devil is after you. You say, well, the devil is after me, and I don't want to serve the devil, but I'm going to serve God. Okay, that's good, but that's not why we pray. A lot of times people pray, the devil got in behind me, so I start praying. He had me up against the corner, so I start praying. He was running after me, so I start praying. I have a headache, so I start praying. I have a toothache, so I pray. I'm broke, I start praying. My house got burned, I'm praying. My friend left me, and I'm praying. Listen, those are not the reasons to pray, people. Of course, let me not say it like that. Let me not say it like that. You pray for whatever reason you want to pray for. But What I'm trying to get you to understand is you can pray for whatever reason. But here, pray to establish friendship with Jesus. Pray to build friendship, relationship with Jesus. And when you pray to establish a relationship with him, you don't have to say, woe is me, I'm undone, I was hurt. Oh, God, my feelings hurt, they hurt me. You don't have to do that. When you establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and he is your friend, your prayer will take a different thing. Then it becomes, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I bless you. Take a quick Rolodex speed to a Revelation. Go to around about the 5th chapter, and it talks about the 4 beasts, and it talks about the 24 elders, and they're in the throne room of heaven. They're sitting in the seat of the Father. I'm in the presence of the Father. And you know what their prayer are? Praise. You know what their praise is? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's their praise. That's their prayer. And when you build friendship with the Lord Jesus, your prayer will change too. You won't be have to tell it on Mookie. You won't have to tell on Joe Snuffy. You won't have to tell about how the devil is after me. Lord, he done took my money, got my bank account empty. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is when you establish a relationship with him, just love him. Let him know you appreciate him. And that's why when Jesus, he tells us, and you have to get this, you have to get the gist of what he was saying. You have to get the gist of what Jesus was saying when he said, and this is what he said. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, you're including your friends. You're including your neighbors. You're including your family, your sisters. You're including the lifeline. You're including the families. Our Father, not my Father. Oh, my Father, my Father, my Father. Now you're making it personal. But when you say our Father, now you include everybody. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's where you're located. It's not your house, but it sure is your throne, because you said so. You created the heaven. You had to come from somewhere. You created the earth. You had to come from somewhere. Before you created the heavens and the earth, where did you come from? He stepped out of eternity. Then he created the heavens and the earth. So, yeah, and he said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed, in other words, sacred, holy, be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You're asking, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom be established. Let your kingdom come, Father. Thy will be done in earth. Oh, God, all of that, your will be done. And everything I do, let your will be done. If I'm talking to a friend, let your will be done. If I'm driving down the road, let your will be done. If I'm shopping at Walmart, let your will be done. If I'm on the phone, let your will be done. If I'm inviting friends over to house to eat and I'm making dinner for them, Father, that we may talk to goodness, let your will be done. Let it be won over to Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever I'm doing, let your will be done. Where? In earth. How? As it is in heaven. On earth, God, do it like you do it in heaven. That's it. Just do it like you do it in heaven. You know your will is in heaven. You reign over everything. Reign over my life the same way, God. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, it's not me, give me my daily bread. No, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us. Again, you're praying for everybody. Not just your sins and your sins. Oh, God, just me. Forgive me, Lord. I done did wrong. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Look what he's saying. And this, in the right, he said the same thing. And forgive us, because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have done wrong. Forgive us. So what, you didn't see me, but forgive us. I didn't see you, but forgive us. And when I say forgive us our sins, that includes you too. But when I'm just, forgive me, Lord, then that's just all about me. All about me. Oh, God, I just want you to forgive me right now. It's all, oh, God, this is a hot one here. Just forgive me. No, that's not it. He said, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that us is America, Venezuela, the North America, South America, Africa, India, whatever. The us is endless. And this is what he's saying. Forgive us. So again, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus have direct communication. He's constantly talking to his Father. He say, I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to share it with you. But you will never know it if you're not in communion with him, if you're not talking to him. And that, let me just get ready to wrap this up. I'm 6 minutes away. And check this out. Check this out. You have to see this and have to understand it, because you have heard this too. Every last person who's on this line, you probably heard it. People have said this, but don't be fooled, little ones. Don't be fooled. You've heard them say, there's no miracles happening. There's no healings taking place. There will be healings and there will be miracles if you start praying. There will be miracles, there will be healing, there will be discernment, and there will be prophecy if you start praying and seeking the face of God. If we do that, the Lord is going to tell you things that the Lord God, the God has told him, that what is going on. So you don't have to be blindsided. He says, I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Oh, my God, man, I'm telling you, you can just take those three verses and just live off of them. Live, 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 people, live. Just say, listen, he's saying this to his son, establish relationship with me. You don't have to worry about having a word of prophecy. You don't have to worry about all this other stuff, because if you just establish relationship with me, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. I will. I'm going to expose. I was talking to a young man by the name of Joseph Robinson today. Joseph is a good friend of mine. I was just sharing some things with him. He was talking, and he said something about prophet. We were talking about a prophet. He was telling me what he thought prophets came from, and I told him what the scripture says. I just want to shine light on something that oftentimes we fail to realize. And let me say that we had a very good conversation. And I mean, man, he's enlightened me with a lot of things, and I was able to enlighten him. But here's the thing we need to understand. God gives us prophets, and he gives prophecies. He gives prophecies, and he gives prophets. There are some things coming. They're coming to America. And we need people who are going to be able to see what's happening. We need people who can see. What are the impending doom? There are some impending doom that's coming our way. There's some harsh evil that's coming. And if you don't have no people in sight, no people in place who can see, you're going to miss it. I'm going over this. Just bear with me just a few more minutes. So if America, let's just say in the year 2016 or 2017, let's say that America is going to go into a seven-year famine, and very harsh, harsh, harsh famine. All right, let's say that's the case. If there are no prophets, they're not going to see that. And then the one who say they're prophet, if they're not walking by God and they're not in tune with God and they're not listening to God, they're not going to hear God. God can speak to you if you talk to him. If you talk to him, he'll tell you, warn my people, tell my people, danger is up ahead. Get ready, get ready, get ready. If you talk to him, he will tell you that. But when the people are not talking to God and they're not listening to him and there are no prophets, then you know what happens? Everyone goes through a famine. Let's rewind to a brief, and let me just tell you this story, and you can read it for yourself. It's in the Bible. Let's go back to the days of Abraham. Abraham was in the land of promise. Isaac was in the land of promise. Jacob was in the land of promise. God blessed them in the land of promise. Jacob had all of his sons, even Benjamin and Joseph, in the land of promise. It didn't seem like it was coming. If you ask Abraham, it looked like it was a long time coming. But guess what? God was faithful. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their son walked in the land of promise. God said, I'm going to bless you in this land. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. As far as your eyes can see, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to be very fruitful. I'm going to bless you. But they didn't realize that they were already in the land of promise. So, number one, Abraham was on the scene. And when Abraham was on the scene, guess what? He left and he went to Egypt. A famine came, he left and he went to Egypt. Because that was the time he said, Sarah, if they ask you, who are you, tell me you're my sister. All right? So, anyway, we know that story. We know that story. But anyway, they came back. There was the first famine. Later on, secondly, another famine coming. Later on, this was during Isaac's days. He's leaving. He left, and he went. He was going into Egypt. God said, don't go there. And so he went somewhere else. It wasn't directly into Egypt, but it was close to it because the same king that was over Egypt was over that place too. And how I know is because when he came to the place, he told Rebecca, listen, they say who you are, you tell them you're my sister. Same thing. But it was there. But again, it was the second famine. God gave them everything they needed right there in Canaan, but they didn't trust God. All right. And God would have spared their life. God would have taken care of them, called that against them. But Jacob comes along. Jacob has 12 sons. He birthed a young prophet by the name of Joseph. Joseph is telling his brothers about a dream that he had. He tells his brothers and his father. They get mad with it. Oh, they wanted to kill him because they didn't like him, and they didn't like his, they didn't like him being that close to his father. They didn't like that. His father showed him special favor, gave special favor to him, showed favor to him. They didn't like that. You ain't going to bow. We're not going to bow down to you. Who do you think you are? You're a little runt. And again, now, all of his brothers have different mothers. Same father. They all from different mothers. Leah and Leah's handmaid and Rachel's handmaid. And only Joseph and Benjamin is from Rachel. They're the only two. But guess what? They didn't like him. He told them that day, you know, they're going to bow down, man. They didn't want to do it. They just wanted to get rid of him. So what, you know what they did? They sold the prophet. They sold the prophet to Midian, and then Midian, in turn, sold him to Egypt. He was a prophet. The thing that they needed to sustain them there in the land of promise was there, even the prophet. But they got rid of the prophet. And so when the famine comes, The king have a dream, and he wants somebody to interpret it. Guess what it is? We have an interpreter. We have a prophet. Ah, who is he? He's little Joseph, but guess where he's from? He's not from Egypt, but he's